Welcome to Whiskey Congress. Once again, my buddy Mike Wood is on the phone with us. It's just Mike and I. Mike and I had an exchange via text message over whether or not I am in fact infected with the insidious disease, TDS, a.k.a. Trump Derangement Syndrome. So first of all, Michael, how are you doing, man?
I am doing good, brother. How are you?
I'm great.
Everything okay with the TDS and all?
You know, I at this point, I am asymptomatic. I do not consider myself to be infected with this infliction. All right, so one of us or both of us should define TDS because we're doing this for people who will listen to us. So do you want to do it or do you want me to take a shot and you can give me your version?
Oh, well there's actually like quite an accepted version of this already. I have a couple articles pulled up. I mean, to even to see how much the world is talking about it, I have Los Angeles Times, I have CNN, I have GER graphics pulled up just to show there's all kinds of liberal ones in there. And there's Newsweek and the New Yorker. So I have a whole bunch of articles I could pull from, but they all roughly explain the same thing, that TDS sufferers essentially just have a misperception of the world and they lose their inability to distinguish fantasy from reality. That's like the first step.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the last step.
Okay.
Your inability to distinguish fantasy from reality.
All right. So,
there's a history to this. It actually started as from Bush derangement syndrome, which I didn't know until I looked at this. And it's kind of like the same thing where they started talking about it with Bush. And then it kind of flip-flops between, of course, going to Obama in a bit. But no one really talked about it enough. And now we're back with Trump.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Obama.
I don't want to give too much of a description. Because I found a test. Can we do the test?
Sure. I love this. Go ahead.
So everybody can follow along. I found a page. It's called gotoquiz.com, Trump Derangement Syndrome Quiz Test.
So I am about to be diagnosed as potentially a Trump Derangement Syndrome sufferer. Is that what's going on here?
No, I haven't done this. As soon as I found it, I wanted to handle it honestly. So that's why I didn't even want to give you too much of what is universally defined.
I cannot wait. Go ahead.
Okay. Question number one. Of the following options, what best describes the best system the USA should run with? A constitutional republic, a pure republic, a constitutional democracy, a pure democracy, a democratic socialist, a pure socialist, a communist socialist mix, or pure communist?
What would be best or what most accurately describes what we are?
The system we should use.
Democratic socialist.
Really?
Yes.
Totally disagree with you.
Okay,
so that could be a different discussion one day. I think a constitutional republic is the only way to go.
That's what we are, but okay.
Yeah, I believe that's the only functional government system that's possible that we know of. Okay, number two, choose honestly based on the best answer that would describe you best. When you come to conclusions, you use your emotions more than you would use logic and facts. Strongly agree, agree, disagree, strongly disagree.
Emotion versus facts, I strongly disagree.
So you would use the facts?
Facts far outweigh my emotions, yes.
Okay. All right, so you strongly disagree. You're right.
Yes.
I wasn't reading that right. Okay, number three. Which of the following statements best describe your overall sentiment towards Trump supporters as a whole? They are, generally speaking, deplorable, hardworking, racist and sexist, gullible, or pro-American patriots?
Of those, I would say gullible.
Okay. I got to take it after you, but okay.
So, All right.
Okay, number four. How true is the claim that Russia hacked the U.S. election? It has been confirmed. It is most likely correct. There is no evidence for that claim. Most likely wrong, or it's a hoax and witch hunt.
My answer is going to be it's been confirmed because I'm saying that they intentionally got involved in our election.
Okay, listen to the claim. How true is the claim that Russia hacked the USA election?
I'll say. What were the choices again?
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like
confirmed.
I would call it a hoax and a witch hunt.
All right.
So what's funny is that TDS, like the derangement syndrome, can go the other way. So I may,
oh, don't worry. That's on my list of thing of my talking points.
Okay, so it may come up that like you're slightly
more rational than you,
and I'm slightly TDS the other.
Oh, it may indeed come to that. But let's go.
Okay. Number five. Have you ever felt extreme hatred or negative emotions towards Trump supporters?
No. Extreme hatred, okay. No.
Negative emotions?
Negative emotions, certainly.
Okay.
Mostly frustration.
Number six, how strong is your faith in Robert Mueller?
Strong.
Mueller is a deep state swamp. Mueller has done pretty much nothing for several years. What are our tax dollars funding this guy for? It really is pointless. Mueller has been hard at work for several years. Mueller will impeach and humiliate Donald Trump, and justice will be served.
Mueller has been hard at work for several years.
Number seven, how willing are you to have a conversation with a Trump supporter? No way. I don't care. It would never work. Sure, why not? Bash the fascism. Get out of my way, you damn Nazi filth. Well, considering I am one, of course I'd be okay with it.
That's a really loaded question. I'm more than happy to talk to Trump supporters. I do it all the time. But none
yeah,
of those...
Yeah, so you would say sure, why not?
Was that?
You would say sure, why not?
Yeah, sure, why not? Absolutely.
So number eight. What would you do if Trump won the re-election in 2020? Antifa, here we come. The ends justify the means.
Oh
well,
goodness.
Then, so what? I really don't get the point. I'd react similarly to the 2016 election, maybe worse. I'd probably cry. Celebrate, I'd be voting for him. Take to the streets. We need to protest against that ugly orange fascist.
Well, I didn't cry, but I would say same as 2016. Same as 2016 is my answer.
Okay.
Yours?
Number nine. We only have 12, so we're okay. Number nine, Donald Trump is the man racist? Yes, of course. No, of course not. He is pretty much Hitler himself.
Yeah, of those choices, yes, of course, is the best I can do. My honest answer is he's an elitist, but... Of those okay. choices, yes, of course. He's Hitler
Number
incarnate.
Ten.
Come on.
This is great for you.
Okay,
do you
here
consider
we go.
The NRA a terrorist organization?
No. I consider it a dopey okay. organization that's fueled by money and
okay.
preys on gullible people.
Number 11. What do you think of diversity? It's our strength or it's a cancer to our nation?
It's our strength.
That's kind of a dud, but anyway.
Yeah. No, 12. Not it's not a dud to everybody.
Yeah, I get that. There's nationalists.
Right.
Do you tend to go straight to the Twitter replies critical of Trump when reading Trump's tweets, or do you tend to ignore them? What replies? I ignore them. I love the replies. Yep, and I agree with them a lot. Disgusting. I never read those filthy replies. Trump's tweets are all I read, and I hate Trump and all of his stinking tweets.
What was the second one? I love the replies.
I love the replies, and I agree with a lot of them.
Of those choices, that's my best answer. That's not my most accurate opinion, but that's my
best answer, right? Okay, so you ready to submit the answers?
Let's do this.
Trump derangement quiz test. Your result, moderate Trump derangement syndrome. 92%.
As diagnosed by Dr. Michael Wood.
You suffer from moderate Trump derangement syndrome. Your mental health is in terrible condition. You have the following symptoms, yet you have them at a moderate level as opposed to a high level. In other words, you are a very far left Democrat. Chances are you are aggressively anti-Trump and would stop at nothing to dethrone the 45th president from his rightful presidency. You are violent, yet you are very weak. You are extremely emotional. You favor your personal emotions over factual information and will have a hatred for logic and truth. The most common symptom of extreme TDS is crying yourself to sleep.
If I find out that the person who established this quiz was Michael A. Wood Jr., I'm not.
No, I did not make this up. It's a real test.
I have no doubt it's a real test. I do not agree with the assessment. I mean, I've never denied.
Hold on. It's got another. I got three more sentences.
Oh, here we go.
You frequently use magical thinking in order to blame your president and are easily susceptible to conspiracy theories, namely the Trump-Russia conspiracy theory. Come on, it's a little accurate. You are delusional. You see Russians where they do not exist. You believe in Russian bots where there are none. And you deny that your president was legally elected and believe your president is not your president when in fact he is.
Okay, none of that's accurate for me. Enjoy whatever. I have never disputed the legitimacy of the election. I have 100% convinced that there were entities within the Russian government that tried to mess with our election, and that's, to me, that's not debatable. Let me throw it back at you. We've talked about this in the past. You would agree that the Russians meddled in our election, just like we meddle in theirs, and we meddle in every other country's where we have a financial or, well, pretty much always financial interest, right?
Sure, but isn't it awfully coincidence we don't talk about all the other countries that are doing the exact same thing, like Britain?
Like Britain doing to us?
Yeah, of course they are. When they go and they do public speeches and they do things, they're certainly sanctioning our elections. Yeah.
Well, I think the big difference here is that
they make
Russians
TV shows that we watch.
What's that?
Yeah. They make TV shows that we watch. They give us like subliminal messaging.
The Russian meddling in our election mostly tapped in on the power of social media, in my opinion. And I don't
But it's completely, you can say that all you want, but it was literally like non-statistically relevant. Dude, they reached how many people retweeted it? It's like nobody.
Statistical relevance in terms of influencing the election, Trump is not president because of Russia. I will not argue that point for a second. Trump is president because Hillary Clinton was a horrible candidate and the Democratic Party ran a horrible campaign. And
I agree.
And Trump reached out to people. So when in that quiz you asked me why I called Trump supporters naive. In my opinion, they are completely naive. I know a substantial amount of time in West Virginia. And I think I told you the story about going hunting in West Virginia last year and a guy like getting in my face because I was from New York. And this guy's basically talking about how much he'd like to blow Trump and then getting in my face for being from New York. I'm like, where do you think Donald Trump's from? Because the New York I'm from is Buffalo, which ain't exactly the glamour part of New York. And Donald Trump lives in a fucking tower with a gold toilet in New York City. So the same guy who was in my face for being, you know, a New Yorker is sucking up to Trump. And that's amazing to me. This guy did not seem to understand that the guy that you're all over is like the epitome of New York City elitist playboy. Right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's his point.
Well, trust me, there wasn't a whole lot of intellectual debate going on at the hunting
but
camp.
But what he knows is that he speaks for his people. He doesn't know the history. So, yeah, he's ignorant to the history. Sure, but, I mean, we're relatively ignorant to the history as well. We only know what the media tells us. That guy most likely is trying to say is that he hears somebody speaking to his people. Just because he can't define it in your language.
Well, all right. It's hard for me to properly frame the conversation.
I don't know. You sound like an elitist when you say that. I got to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, fair. I was outnumbered. What's that?
Do you think they have arguments about why you're naive in not voting for Trump?
No. No.
You think the current state of bringing in peace in North Korea wouldn't be a good idea for why you were naive about Trump's capabilities?
Okay, if you want to meet, if you, I, that's not how I interpreted the question. I would say right now, that is one of the best accomplishments of the Trump administration. I totally agree that, and I've, I have no trouble saying that the Trump administration speaking to and making a connection with Kim Jong-un is a great thing. And, I mean, Kim Jong-un is just a whole different kind of situation. But for the most part, I think the Trump administration has handled North Korea.
But why is it a whole different situation? I don't understand what that means.
Compared to previous administrations. Previous administrations have basically tried to ignore him into non-existence.
Obama was trying to set up peace deals. He couldn't do it. Kerry went over there.
All right. I don't remember what came of that. I think nothing came of that.
They failed.
Was that?
They failed.
Okay. And I don't know that we've achieved peace with North Korea, but I will commend the Trump administration for opening dialogue with a country that we had not had good dialogue with in.
You don't think they can make good arguments of why the UN's bad for the United States?
All right. We're changing subjects.
No, that's a reason why you'd want to vote for Trump, because he's anti-UN.
Okay. Trump. Well, I want to take this on a different avenue, but I'll answer this. I don't think the UN is pro-US because I think the UN is an attempt to at least superficially level the playing field, and the US is at the top of the playing field. So I guess from a nationalist standpoint, the UN is bad for the US. I think the UN is good for the world.
Do you think other people have legitimate arguments that are much more educated on the subject than both you and I that the UN is terrible for the world?
For the world?
Yeah, I've seen plenty of good arguments for why the UN's terrible. Yeah.
All right. The first answer to your question is yes, there are people who are more educated on that subject than you and I. I have not heard arguments to that effect, but I would listen to them.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's very good arguments. I want to go on the record and officially say that I was incredibly naive.
I'll grant you that.
I didn't see it the same way either. My reason why Trump won is easy to me. It's because the Democratic Party is corrupt and screwed over Bernie. He didn't have a chance against Bernie. That's why he won.
I think there's more reasons than that, but I agree with that statement is 100% accurate. There's more. I think there's more to it, but I agree with that.
Well,
statement.
My vote would have went to Bernie. My vote went to Jill Stein.
And my vote was going to go to Gary Johnson, but I dislike Trump enough.
Realize you shouldn't vote for a moron.
I don't think he's a moron.
He's not. He doesn't have the skill set for such a responsibility.
Sure's
a good guy.
Well, I want to call you out on that because I criticized Trump's qualifications, and you accused me of having TDS. Now it turns out I'm just infected with the virus and may pull through. But
no, this was your moderate.
Right. But I think Gary Johnson, I mean, former governor, his running partner, former governor of a very Democratic state, very socially liberal, fiscally conservative.
Says who? He's governor. No, hold on. He was governor of a state. Did they do any kind of police reform? Did they stop busing people for weed? I mean, come on, dude. He didn't do shit.
I mean, I don't know what his record was.
Sure, bro. That state isn't different than any other. Their cops are killing everybody the same way.
In New Mexico?
Their prison industrial complex is the same. Their school to pipeline is the same. Their lead poisoning is the same.
Okay. If he failed in that, I don't have the information. I'm sure you do, because that's in your wheelhouse. But
for the country, for our social politics. And it's like, what did he do good for us? You can't point to anything.
The reason I like Gary Johnson, honestly, and you're going to kick me in the nuts for this. I heard him on Rogan's podcast, and I heard him being a logical, secular, like I said, socially liberal, small government guy. I'm not the biggest small government guy. I believe in socialized healthcare. I believe in socialized lots of things. But I liked what I heard from him. I could not stand Hillary Clinton. I despise Donald Trump. I would have voted for Bernie over Trump, but I would have voted for John Kasich over Hillary.
Agree.
Okay. But
so, do you want me to take the test now?
What's that?
I got to take the test. Let's see what it says about me.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were doing both of us along the way. Let's do it.
Okay. So, of the following options, which describes the best system the USA should run with, I would say a constitutional republic. It is my argument. It's the only government system that works and the only one I can see feasible of working. When you come to conclusions, logic and facts, I would say I'm definitely logic and facts to the point that I'm a dickhead. Trump supporters, my overall sentiment, I believe they're generally hardworking people.
Okay.
How true is the claim that Russia hacked the elections? There is no evidence for that claim. Have you ever felt extreme hatred or negative emotions towards Trump supporters? Yeah, of course.
Really?
Of course.
See, I don't feel strong hatred for almost any
group of people. You're going to find people I am not cool with.
Well, good point.
How strong is your faith in Robert Mueller? Robert Mueller is a deep state swamp. How willing are you to have a conversation with a Trump supporter? Of course. What would you do if Trump won the re-election? Shit! I don't know if I can answer this honestly. I'm probably going to vote for him.
We'll come back to this in a minute.
If he takes the path, if he stays the course, is the man a racist? Of course not. Do you consider NRA a terrorist organization? I mean, no. I think you can make the case, though. Somebody could argue it.
You can argue it. I'm with you. I'm not a fan. You know where I stand on the NRA. I think we're actually pretty much on the same page there.
Diversity is our strength, of course. And tweets, replies, I don't read them. Let's see. What replies? I ignore them. There you go. That's my answer. All right, let's see. Trump derangement quiz test. My results are normal. You are normal. You do not have TDS or any sort, and you should be very happy with this fact. Your mental condition, however average, be aware of the TDS individual. Their idiocy may cause you severe headaches. Steer clear of them, and remember to make decisions based on facts and logic, not on emotions and opinions. Congratulations on not being stupid. You are welcome to go about your day and enjoy it as you please.
I would love to know who is... All right, so what is the source of this poll?
I said it, but it's just like go-to quizzes. So
okay.
There's no like
all right, all
generic
right,
quiz
right.
that somebody made up. Still fun.
I'm fine with this. I will not consider it to be official an official medical diagnosis, but...
One of the funniest things I thought is I had this National Review article because this guy is writing about how Trump derangement syndrome affects more supporters than critics. And he goes on to explain Trump derangement syndrome excellently and then goes on to demonstrate how he has it. He's totally aware. It's great. So that article is in the National Review and it's called Trump Derangement Syndrome Afflicts Supporters More Than Critics by Eric Zorn. And everybody's got to read that. It's hilarious. The guy is completely unaware of his level of TDS, writing an article about how other people have TDS.
We will need to tweet that, both of us, or I'll tweet it from Whiskey Congress.
It's funny. I'll put it on my Facebook right now. Just
yeah, I was going to say, if you want to put that out there, and I'll reap.
LOL, the irony.
I mean, again, I do not consider myself to be deranged when it comes to Trump. I have no trouble denying. I do not like him. I've not liked him since my teenage years when he was a New York City playboy who couldn't help but slap his name on everything.
We're not talking about liking him, right?
Okay.
I don't like him.
What's that?
I don't like him.
Okay. I don't either. And
I'm
Mike,
liking him, right?
I don't. So... We've you know talked about this a few times. I don't like the way he handled the Iran deal. I think the Iran deal got labeled as Obama appeasing Iran, when in fact it was a multinational thing that basically said we're not going to bomb you for putting in power plants, but we are going to restrict and have the ability to inspect you. It's a deal which gave us an ability to inspect and learn things. Now, anything we if we were in fact removed from that deal, which I don't know that we are, we would lose the international support for taking action if they violate it. Pull out, you got nothing.
Why does America give a shit if we have international support?
Why should we or why do we?
Either.
Because why should we? Because if we're going to take military action against Iran, the potential repercussions are huge. And you're saying that we should give Trump credit for not having us at war with North Korea. I feel a whole lot better going to war with North Korea than going to war with Iran.
Why?
Because Iran has so many supporters in Arab states and with Russia that could actually do things, whereas North Korea is a nuisance at best. Yeah, they have nuclear weapons, but they have no ability or have not demonstrated their ability to use them, and no one's going to go to bat for North Korea in the long run. Iran has resources that the rest of the world wants.
Man, I totally disagree with you, man. Like, North Korea has access to our allies, to Japan and South Korea, two of our closest allies.
Ability to hurt them, I agree, but doesn't have assets. Who's assets?
Who's going to hurt?
What's that?
Who's Iran going to hurt?
Saudi Arabia. I mean, I didn't say access. I said assets. So,
but who Iran, cares?
We do. Oil still drives us.
You don't understand how powerful we are. That's what Trump's doing right now. He's reminding the UN, y'all, blah 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 blah. The American force is so fucking powerful and so far-reaching and so entrenched. They don't have the ability to say no.
Who doesn't? Iran?
Anyone. You don't understand how much more powerful we are.
In terms of military might, what's that?
The world can team up against us, and they can still kiss our balls. It's true.
In terms of military might, I completely agree.
As soon as
the world said to us, "We're not going to trade with you," we are fucked.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Right now, we are the world's largest oil producer. Do you know that?
I did not know that. I don't.
Even if we are
essentially energy independent, we are food independent.
Listen to me. You think the world's biggest buyer is afraid of the sellers backing off? Get the fuck out of here. They would collapse in days. You're not understanding how much more, like, the money, everything is based off of our dollar. If we tell you, you don't get to have shit, you don't get to have shit.
That's actually my whole point. Because right now, the U.S. dollar is the standard for stability in the world economy. The second the world says, you guys are fucking crazy, we're going away from that, we collapse.
No, we don't. We say, good the fuck luck.
We cannot survive. We could survive, but we will
absolutely
not be as powerful as an isolationist nation.
Who told you we can't?
What's that?
Who told you we can't?
Me. We can survive.
Africa in 4 days.
What's that?
We can overtake half of Africa in days.
Yeah, sure. Well, so, to what end? To what end?
We need. There you go. All the resources you need. We can dominate the seas. We can make sure no fucking boat goes on the goddamn ocean.
If the rest of the world was against us?
No ships go on water, period. Fuck you. That's crazy. Turning against America is a death wish, with your economy and militarily, it's a death wish.
If that situation occurred, nobody wins, right?
But that they're not going to do that. That's the point. They can't.
So this is a might makes right argument.
I'm telling you the reality of the world. You're trying to say that Iran is a threat, and I'm telling you, Iran is not a threat, and they're definitely not a bigger threat to our friends and allies than North Korea, for sure.
So why is North Korea a bigger threat?
Because they can reach South Korea and Japan, our two closest friends.
So if they hit Tokyo and Seoul, that would be, in terms of loss of life, would be devastating. And the scary thing about
we would have to wipe them off the planet.
Which we could do more easily than
You understand that we must protect Japan, right?
Just out of agreement or out of or financial?
Out of the agreement. We must protect Japan.
Yes, yes, I agree. Even though I think Trump said that we shouldn't, but okay.
No, I get that. He's saying they should have their own military. They would like that too, so that's a different argument.
Okay, I agree with that.
Right, but those two countries, I mean, that's like allowing South Korea or Japan to allow a single soldier to die is like allowing England to allow a soldier to die or Australia.
Oh, I agree with that. Look, I mean, South Korea and Japan economically and...
Dude, I'm just saying, if they kill fucking Afghanistan, it's not like them killing South Koreans, be honest.
I'm not arguing with that at all.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's much more important
I said
to
Iranians.
Protect Japan and South Korea than it is to worry about fucking Iran. And I don't think either one of us know enough to know what Iran, like, about whether the deal was good or not. We just don't know.
All right, what I do know is the way we may or may not have exited it was awkward and fucked over our European allies.
Well, that's the thing. But did he fuck them over or did Obama fuck them over by not being honest and doing the right thing for America to begin with? That's a reasonable argument.
That's a question that I frankly, I have an opinion on. But I don't have enough inside information to argue beyond the superficial level. Go ahead.
When I've had access to information from being in positions of power in government, every time you get there, it ends up being like, this isn't quite what people think it is. And there's reasons we have to do these things that don't look right on the surface that we can't even explain.
That's fair. Mike, I want to do the Wakanda discussion.
Okay, but not yet.
I want to ask a few questions that will show that I may in fact have TDS.
It's your show, sir.
Well, no, we're collaborators, brother. You know I love doing this. All right. So, do you believe that being a statesman is part of the president's job, and being a good public speaker and a good representative?
So I want to be very clear that you're using subjective terms.
Okay.
All right. So when you're saying good, I don't care about the term good. That's subjective.
Fair. Okay.
All right. So should he be a statesman? Should he represent America? I mean, yeah, but it's an opinion of whether Trump is representing America appropriately or not. That's purely opinion.
Fine. Do you think Trump is a good public speaker?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So you're saying good. So, I mean,
all right.
All right,
let me try to phrase the question in a more objective way. When Trump speaks publicly, do you think he represents America in a way that shows... How to say this in a proper way? Because when I hear Trump speak, whether it's at a campaign rally or at the UN... And that's where this whole thing came from, is you said his UN speech to me. I call it braggadocious, and you called me a TDS sufferer. When he spent the beginning of his speech bragging about how great his administration was, I thought that was embarrassing.
Because they laugh.
No, it's because what he was saying, in my opinion, was ridiculous. He's talking about, I've done more in 2 years than most administrations in our country's history. I'm like, stop. You sound like an asshole. Not you, but Trump did. They laughed because he sounded like an asshole.
Everything he said after that was true, so I don't understand what you would be upset about.
Upset's the wrong word. I'm upset that in my opinion, he sounds like an idiot, in my opinion.
Well, why were you saying he's an idiot? So that's another
I didn't say he wasn't an idiot, he sounded like an idiot.
Why does that sound like an idiot? I don't understand that. That's your opinion. I don't think it sounds like an idiot.
Okay. So the reason I say that is because he gets up there and he's telling Europe, I'm so great, listen to me. I've done all these amazing things, and in the history of my country, I'm pretty much better than anyone else who's ever done this job. And even if that was true and verifiable, which it is not.
But you're using hyperbole. That's not what he said. That's one of the signs of Trump transmission, using hyperbole.
His words were, my administration has done in 2 years more than most administrations have ever done, right?
Is that true or false?
The statement? It's unverifiable and hyperbole.
It's his opinion, man, right? And he
Right.
then laid out the case for what, but then he laid out the case for why he thinks that's his opinion.
Well, then
That's
he
his opinion.
talked about, and here's my buddy from China, and all right.
To show the United Nations and do something he's been saying since his campaign, he's keeping a campaign promise that if we're going to do the UN, we're going to do it equally.
We do it equally, or we're doing it America first?
That's what he says. They're going to pair. They're going to do their fair share, and they're going to understand that America, either they're paying their fair share, or they're going to recognize the fact that the whole thing is being fucking run and funded by us, and we're fucking have the say. That makes sense to me. I'm sorry, it does.
All right, that's not how I took that speech, but this
but
is
read
where.
It, man. Read it and don't
I
let
did.
It come from Trump.
Oh, hold on. I read it. Not only did I read it, I listened to it, and. One of our exchanges on texts where you said, read it, it's better that way. You're right, it's better that way, because it doesn't sound like my idiot uncle when I read it. When I
Yeah, because you view it as your idiot uncle, but it will sound better to somebody else that respects him. It's just a bias of your perspective. I'm trying to just eliminate that bias.
All right. I completely disagree. I think to a rational bystander, as a public speaker, he sounds horrifically idiotic, in my opinion.
Because you are saying who his audience is. He's not talking to you.
Who is he talking to? At the UN, who's he talking to?
He is making a statement to his supporters that he's keeping his campaign promise, which was to go to the UN and remind them that America's fucking paying for this, and we're not going to be the ones having the fair share, especially if they're going to run around talking shit.
Okay, I respect how you said that. I don't think that's how it gets perceived. I don't think
it
they were laughing
by
with
them.
What's
I
that?
Listen to them. I know what they expect it. I know how they feel about it.
Who's they? You mean Trump supporters?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is becoming the majority of this country.
The majority of this country are Trump supporters?
He will win the majority vote next time. Guarantee it.
I will put money on that. Did
okay.
he? All right, in your opinion, did he win the majority of the vote last time?
That's not an opinion matter. He didn't.
Okay, good. So when he claimed that 5 million illegals voted and that's why he didn't win the majority vote, that was a lie, a misperception, or my Trump derangement?
Yeah, he probably just got fed bullshit information. He's obviously not like well versed at tracing down information and processing it before he says something.
We can't completely agree on that.
But people like that. That's the thing is even the scholarly literature is very clear that going forward in the future, what people will respect is authenticism. They don't want the fucking polish. It's gross.
No, all right. In that regard, I agree with you. And if you want to talk Kavanaugh.
Martin O'Malley.
Who?
Wasn't that gross?
Who?
Martin O'Malley. Wasn't it gross watching Martin O'Malley?
I'm drawing a blank on Martin O'Malley.
Democratic candidate who was the mayor of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. All right, you know him way better than me because he barely got any airtime. And, I mean, you're a Baltimore guy, so you probably know that guy inside and out, and
yeah,
I don't.
He's such a turd. I hate to call people bad names, but he's high enough up that I don't care.
I remember him being – he was the guy on the podium that was doing the, hey, look at me, while Hillary and Bernie were actually getting their time.
Perfect face, perfect suit, does the hand motions, rolls his sleeves up just as he talks about hardworking and shit.
Again, I'm not gonna debate Baltimore politicians with you because you probably have been within 10 feet of the guy and I wouldn't recognize him if he walked up and slapped me in the face. Let's talk Kavanaugh for a few minutes. I'm dying to do the whole Wakanda thing because I just watched that movie this week for the first time.
Okay.
And but the Kavanaugh thing, we're gonna have way too much common ground on to be interesting because this whole process has been disgusting to me. They are trying, the Democrats in the Senate are doing everything they can to try to find a reason to not approve Brett Kavanaugh. Now from an ideological standpoint, he's probably not a guy I want on the bench. He is by any objective. What's that?
Why?
because I think he's way right, which means to me he's not going to. I'm not a big Roe v. Wade supporter or fighter, but I'm concerned about issues that relate to civil rights, mostly related to.
It's fabricated. Roe v. Wade ain't coming back.
You're probably right.
Maybe it's technically possible,
I'm not the biggest Roe v. Wade supporter, to be honest. If I look at it from my limited constitutional knowledge, I don't think it should be a national issue. It strikes me from a constitutional standpoint, it should be a state's issue. But I feel pretty gross about the idea of living in a world where a state would say that an 18-year-old girl who gets pregnant and has an abortion is a murderer and should be tried as such. And right. That's a really blurry discussion to have. And, you know, as two cisgender heterosexual males, I even hate having this discussion without someone else in the conversation. But that the idea of women like that being tried for capital crimes is disgusting to me. And when people say, well, don't punish the woman, then you're not being intellectually honest if you're calling it murder. Having said that, Brett Kavanaugh is clearly professionally qualified. What he's being accused of is, well, maybe he groped a girl in high school, which I know I sent you the link to my article.
He's getting accused of rape now.
Is he? They've stepped it up.
The third one accuses him of rape.
No, the third one, from what I know, accused him of being at a party where a rape or multiple rapes occurred and him not doing anything.
Yeah, that he was in line. He was one of the ones in line.
So he took a number, but the... Mike, this is so fucking ridiculous. No, not you.
It's so ridiculous.
Let me make you laugh a bit. I got home from work today. I turned on the TV, and I was listening to the Kavanaugh hearings, and I don't even remember which senator said. You said that you went on this trip and you had to ask the question, or you said you had to piece together what happened the night before. Is that true, sir? And he was like, yeah, me and my college buddies from Yale went on a trip to Boston to watch a Red Sox game and have a good time. We came back. We got home at 4:45 in the morning. And, Kavanaugh said he was perfectly lucid. My point is, who gives a fuck? He was... All right, if not remembering what happened on a party night in college makes you not a legitimate candidate for any job, I'm unemployed as of right now. You know how many times I did something at WVU where I had to, like, wake up with my buddy and go, all right, we're both sleeping on your patio. This is not good. Whatever. I'm not even going to get down that road too far. But
they don't even have him at these parties, though. Like, there's not even corroborating evidence that he's at any of, like, the guilty parties.
Then there's that. And what someone did in this whole thing started with something that may or may not have happened in a high school. Fucking ridiculous. And let me lose my Democratic Party bona fides right now.
Well, you're gonna lose your lip card.
My lip card's fucked because Dianne Feinstein is handled this in a revolting fashion. And I listen to tons of Breitbart, Patriot Channel, MSNBC, CNN. I listen to a ton of shit. I literally flip channels, and it has been like you are listening to two entirely different sets of reality. You turn on CNN or MSNBC and you hear, you know, this monster, coaches girls soccer because he loves molesting 15-year-old girls, and this is the only way to get his jollies. And then you listen to Breitbart and Patriot Channel and other things, and you hear, this is the most wholesome family man, and hey, even if he did this is boys will be boys. Now, I don't want to have the boys will be boys argument. It's not completely inaccurate, but I don't want to go down that road. But I'm not going to defend, even if it is boys being boys, that doesn't make it acceptable behavior. It is behavior that we need to grow past. But the idea that this makes something that happened in 1983 a disqualifying behavior for a Supreme Court nominee, and like you said, based on completely uncorroborated, you know, comments or statements, is insane.
When I was 3 years old is when this happened.
Yeah. Three, really?
Yeah,
that's about right. All right, yeah. I was thinking about this because when Brett Kavanaugh was a junior in high school, I would have been in seventh grade. So, yes, I'm older than you. And, you know, there's lots of things in the world that were acceptable in 1982 or were deemed socially acceptable in 1982 and 83 that shouldn't have been, and we've gotten better about. Have we become way too oversensitive and you know, socially policing each other? Absolutely. But a lot of things that were deemed acceptable, it's good that we've gotten past it, right? I mean, you know, hurling racial epithets at whatever denomination is the wrong word, but, you know, in the streets because you're white, you get away with it, is no longer acceptable and good. And I know you wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, it's been a long time, dude. I think it changed, like, between your and my generation because, like, maybe that's one reason why I have a different perspective on it. It's just when I grew up in high school, like, when in my high school, there was no way someone was going to be allowed to touch a girl inappropriately and get away with it. You weren't going to pick on somebody for being gay and get away with it. You weren't going to pick on anybody for race and it not be addressed or being fat or anything. Like, I don't know. Like, that's always been unacceptable conduct in, like, every place I've ever been.
In my high school days, that would not have drawn a flag from school. I mean, there were limits, but the stuff happened in my junior high and high school days that was disgusting. And I mean, to hurl racial epithets, my brother's Korean, and there were idiots that would call my brother a chink, and he's 4 years younger than me, and I'd gotten into a lot of fights as a, you know, junior high school kid because of people calling my brother. I'm like, first of all, douchebag, chink is Chinese, and China and Korea aren't the same country. I had that conversation a few times before I would headbutt somebody, but they would call him a Jap too. I'm like, again, you know, you're Greek. Someone called you Italian, they'd be wrong. So shut the fuck up. But that was allowed, and that was wrong. And it's great that we've gotten past that. And there's, you know, the dopey white guy argument that why can't it be like the good old days when I could be a douchebag and get away with it? You know, fuck off. But having said all that, this attack on Kavanaugh for what he did in potentially in high school, potentially in college. If you got to reach back to someone's college days to find a reason to disqualify them from a job based on unsubstantiated, vague allegations, then the next person to come along, and when the tide flips, right, when there's a Democratic president trying to nominate a Supreme Court justice, we've just gotten to such a game of gotcha and you know, I'm rubber, you're glue. Well, that's the wrong choice, but it's gotten so stupid, and it's only going to get worse until someone puts their foot down. And I am disgusted with the Democratic Party for not saying, you know what, Merrick Garland should have been given a chance. You as Republicans did not do what was constitutionally right. We are not going to follow in your footsteps. We are going to give this guy a fair hearing, and yeah, he's going to get nominated. That was, in my opinion, the politically and, you know, morally right thing to do. Instead, they said, we're going to muddy up the waters as much as we can, create as much as a stink as we can, try to turn this into the biggest, you know, political mess that we can. And from a standpoint of will they win, in my opinion, they will not. Brett Kavanaugh will become a Supreme Court justice. They will give their opposition a ton of ammunition going into the midterms, and the standard for what will get you judged as a potential Supreme Court nominee or other political nominee is now going to become such a, well, you did it type of scenario that the Democrats have fucked this up royally. Sorry for the ramble.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to stand up and say that if these things haven't come up in the background investigations that have happened probably 20 or 30 times during this guy's life, then it just doesn't count. Too bad.
And I mean, I don't want to go down the road of, if you took the worst drunken night of my college life, if you got that on film, yikes. I didn't assault anybody, but I can tell you there's plenty of moments that I'm glad were not caught on audio and or video.
Well, you know, I kind of have thought that maybe since like my daughter's generation and even mine, I guess, a bit, they put so much on the internet that everybody's going to have like these super embarrassing moments and crazy things they did to their kid out there, that maybe just like by the time everybody is that way, then it won't become an issue anymore as well.
Or, well, my fear is it's going to go the opposite way, and that, like, you know,
Puritanical.
We're going to go puritanical. It's like, well, if you ever, you know, scratch your nuts for too long in public, you must be a pervert. All right.
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm done. All right.
We're going to get on the sex offender registry now.
Exactly, for scratching your nuts in public. All right. So, Mr. Wood.
I was not staring at that little boy. I was looking at the ice cream stand behind him.
You just said little boy. How dare you? let's do Wakanda versus Nazi Germany, because I think you're off your rocker on this one, if I'm understanding you correctly, which maybe I'm not.
Okay,
and,
sure.
And so let's do this for fun. I mean, it's 11:30 my time. It's early for you. I've had a few glasses of wine. By that, I mean five. Are you enjoying any substances? Now, I've also on CBD oil, and, you know, cannabis does cause people to become rapists.
Whoa, we've watched too many Reefer Madness episodes. Yeah, I had something. It was it was a grower's blend, so it was just some kind of mixed up shit, cheap shit.
All right. So,
just to be honest.
Do you want me to talk about
Wakanda?
Yeah, let's.
I'm just going to tell the story.
What's that?
I'm just going to tell the. I'm just going to give the cliff notes to the Wakanda story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so. Here's the essential cliff notes of what Wakanda is and its foundation and what happens to it in the Marvel Universe. So there's a human people that are wandering around. They're like nomads, and they wander to Wakanda area, and then they colonize it. There's already this native species that live there, you know, like natives that you're colonizing. And then they live peacefully for a little while, and then they begin to fight over the natives accusing the human people of abusing the resources from the Wakandan land. So the humans end up killing the natives and wiping them out. They then seize the land, and those people become the Wakandans. So a meteorite then lands in their area, and it provides special powers. And it creates this like white monkey ape thing, and if you eat the flesh of the white monkey ape thing, then you get power bestowed upon you. The power and who got the power then created classes within the Wakandans, and the lower class Wakandans grew resentful and blamed the elite class of the Wakandans, who were like craft workers and hunters and had these special powers and were being successful, for the harms of the entire world. Like, what they were absorbing and doing was harmful to the whole world. So they took all the vibranium or whatever it was, which was the source of the secret, from the source of the secret power, and they hid themselves from the world after ascending out and eliminating their lower classes back out into the rest of Africa. So They then took this power and all the resources, hiding the Wakanda land from all the rest of the world, including all the rest of Africa and all the black people who inhabited Africa who couldn't have access to this resource that granted this immense power. So then they, over the years and centuries, they faced the attacks from outsiders. And what they do is they brutally defeat them so bad, and they only want leave one survivor to return back to wherever they came from to tell the story, to not return to this Wakandan area. And then around World War II, ironically, Captain America partners with the Wakandans to defeat the Nazis. And then the Wakandans gave the American elite soldier some of that vibranium so he can now have some of that power. They continued to hide their people, but then they taken all their riches. They sent their people to the richest and most elite schools all around the world so they could return to Wakanda with all the great technology and knowledge of the rest of the world to keep for themselves, not to share with any of the rest of Africa and all those millions and millions and millions and millions of black people. They later then annexed other countries, African countries, and just taking their land and telling the people to beat feet or fucking die. And then T'Challa, the king, allows the Avengers to operate out of the Wakandan land during a war with the X-Men, which gets most of Wakanda destroyed. Then eternal politics and turmoil finished off the country, like the politics of Wakandans, and the Wakandans ended up fleeing as refugees.
All right, that goes way deeper than my knowledge on Wakanda. I've seen Black Panther.
Refugees. You know how, like, we have Nazis in America hiding?
Right.
Just like Wakandans? It's a story same thing.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I'm not I like comic book movies. I don't know. I'm not a deep comic book history guy. This actually would be a better conversation for you and Steve, because he probably does know all this.
This is the story. This is it.
Okay. So, all right. Your comments on Facebook make more sense to me now, because I had yet to see the movie Black Panther. And when I saw it like 3 days ago, I did not see Nazi behavior out of Wakanda at all. In fact,
They hide it from your sight, but it's there.
What's that?
They hide it from your sight.
Well, all right. So what I saw was a country protecting itself from the risk of colonization and a monarchy ultimately sharing its resources with the world to make the world a better place. Because that's what the movie shows, right?
Oh, yeah, but they were still bogarting all those resources from the rest of Africa. That's right there.
But hold on. I mean, if Wakanda was a country and it had resources and it was protecting its resources, that's nationalism that you were praising as a Trump move, right?
But you can't do it with the idea that this is a pro-black idea. That's all I care about. I mean, Nazis, they were nationals, sure. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being nationals, but there's certainly wrong with saying, oh, Wakandan's a great thing to look up to when it's nationalism gone way too far.
Again,
just like the Nazis are nationalism gone way too far.
The Nazi nationalism involved murdering their own people, and if that happened in Wakanda in the comic book series, I didn't know of that.
I told you.
I'm not arguing with you because I don't know that, because I don't know the comic book history. The way I understood it was, it was a country, an asteroid crashed into it. They ended up with all this power. They developed a super advanced society. They recognized that Africa was a target of colonialism, so they kept their technology a secret, but were super, super advanced, and then, did their own thing.
Like God powers. It's like God not helping a burning building and you being like, well, it's okay. It's not his fault. It's not his house.
Well, but again, that to me is, if that burning building is the surroundings of Africa, but then how can you simultaneously say nationalism's okay, but lack... To compare not helping...
We take pride in America when we go stop the Holocaust, even though that story's not true, but we take pride in that. You can make, you can do nationalism for good, or you can do nationalism for evil. That's nationalism for evil.
It, all right, so I can't equate nationalism or isolationism and protectionism.
Yeah, so in this world, it's just like regular Africa. So they're sitting there letting the Ethiopians starve to death when they have this immense power that could easily, they can, what they do is they can easily sell off a little bit of the vibranium to the outside world, which is how they get most of their money. And they could sit there and instantly, it's like being Bill Gates or having, like being Jeff Bezos and being like, oh, nothing we can do about these Ethiopians. That's fucking evil, man.
It, all right, it may be a failure, but to equate it to the Nazi.
Yeah, we at least, if we try to raise funds, we fucking do something. We can at least put up a facade. They don't give a fuck.
Who doesn't? The Wakandans?
Wakandans.
Those damn Wakandans. I will not agree. Again.
It's not pro-black. That is pro-elite, like a Nazi being like white supremacist. The rest of Europe was also white, but it's the same kind of thing. It would be, it's the same evil as if European country was bogarting all the resources from the rest of Europe. We'd be like, what the fuck?
You know, Mike, to me, here's where that argument falls. To say they're not doing everything they could is a fair criticism. To say it's equivalent to concentration camps and mass genocide is a bridge too far.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's better if you round up those Ethiopians. It's really bad if you just put a fence around them. But as long as you blind your eyes to their suffering, it's not really
that, real. I don't think it's an accurate equivalency, though, because first of all, who says they're blinding their eyes to it? The fact that they're not risking their national sovereignty to help others is...
They already leave and go out and they get knowledge. They go out into the real world.
Oh,
they can come and go as they please.
So this to me is a, putting it in a current real world thing. That's like saying that we are, the United States are Nazis for not helping the North Korean people who are being starved by their government. Right?
That's fine. I'm not saying that would be like us being Nazis. The Nazis took an overt act.
Right.
But, I mean, I get what you're saying, that, yeah, it's bad for us to not do that. It's bad for us to, but we will take money, and we're doing something right now to try. We're doing something, literally.
Again, historically speaking,
and we're talking about it. The Wakandans aren't even talking about it and wouldn't talk about it. Like, the idea that we're having this conversation is an entirely different paradigm from Wakanda.
I feel like I didn't watch Wakanda Meet the Press, so I don't know what their government stance was on their neighbors. Again, isolationism and nationalism to me are not the same as mass genocide. And I find the comparison just to be like I said, a bridge too far.
Sure, but it's more of a rebuttal to the people who are viewing Africa as one.
Oh, okay. Now, that's a different discussion.
Right. So it's viewed as a pro-black thing. And so this is as much a pro-black thing as Nazism is a pro-white thing. With the same kind of levels of genocide, just not as overtly.
Okay. All right. So I'm not going to try to be a dick here, but we are now arguing about a fictitious country in the Marvel Universe versus what led us to World War II. So I don't want to make it an apples to apples.
The world is in this world.
What's that?
The real Nazi situation is in this world.
Yeah, and still, right. But
no, in the Wakandan, in the Marvel universe.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I'm not enough of a comic book, you know, enthusiast to know what was going on. And I didn't know Captain America's shield was vibranium. I know that, honestly, this would be a better conversation with you and Steve because he is a big comic book guy.
And I don't think he would. I don't think he was going to argue with me that much.
The case you just made, again,
point of Killmonger sees this. Whole thing is that Killmonger is actually right.
What, that Africa has been exploited and that they should use their resources to
fight
back and conquer?
Killmonger's the one that's right. He's the one that's right. He's the one being humanitarian, pro-black, pro-humanist one. He's right.
Okay.
And then whole story is to make you see.
I've only seen the movie, so I can't go into
But even in the movie, you're supposed to figure out that he's actually the right one.
You know, the right one, I think it's a powerful character. I enjoyed the movie. The most powerful thing about Killmonger is at the very end, right? When T'Challa and he are basically finishing their challenge and T'Challa says, you know, we can save you. And he said, I'd rather die free than live in bondage, and ends his own life. I mean, it was a really well done movie and an emotional movie. And I'm, like I said, I'm a comic book movie fan, but I'm not an expert. I do want to, we've been going for a while now, and I want to throw something out there because you and I have, we have our occasional, including tonight, our disagreements and our discussions. We have a few common enemies. We are both NRA critics. We're both Ben Shapiro critics. I did a thing about Ben Shapiro on our YouTube channel when Ben Shapiro talked about how the movie Black Panther trashed America. And I watched it on Tuesday and said, America plays almost no role as a country in this movie other than 10 minutes in Oakland where, you know, Killmonger's ultimately his story comes from. And so if you took that movie as a slant on America, you're an idiot. And it bugged me because I had listened to this guy's take on the movie and I came away with the notion that he never fucking watched it. He had no clue what he was talking about. Now, for Ben Shapiro, not shocking, but that was my take. Did you ever see him talk about that?
I didn't see him talk about that, but I guess you could make the argument in the same way. I mean, their beginning is very similar to America's colonization that they're supposed to be painting as evil, which it was. So they came in and colonized that land and killed off the natives.
That's not what he said. He said that.
Yeah, I mean, but you could make the argument that it was. I never heard his argument.
His argument was that the movie depicted an African utopia, which. A monarchy where you can challenge the king in a duel to the death does not exactly strike me as a utopia, and that it depicted America as this rundown shithole that needed to be saved by this African utopia is not what happened in the movie. And I need to rewatch what he said about it and rewatch what I said to him on my YouTube channel thing, but there may be a further comment from me. If we want to talk about this, your points are, again, more informed than mine from a Wakanda history standpoint.
But Wakanda is like, I mean, you can make that case. And even if you take the most conservative approach.
Look at you. The guy once yelled at me for getting my phone to beep.
I know. No, it's not my phone. It was the CNN. I was looking up the Elon Musk thing. But
you so want a piece of me on that, don't you?
Not really.
Yes, you do. You called me to brag about it today. Don't give me that bullshit.
You distracted me. Oh, no. Even if you take the most beneficial look at Wakanda, Wakanda is the same upbringing as America, if taking the most beneficial look.
Again, I didn't know that Wakanda was over, that the Wakandan, you know, natives were overtaken by people who then ultimately stole a resource from them.
So it's like America, if you want to talk about foundations, and then I think their continued sucking of the resources in isolation is very Nazi-ish.
If I had the history of Wakanda as well versed as you, I would argue I don't, so I won't. But I appreciate you. You know, all right. So when I read your thing on Facebook, I'm like, oh fuck, here's Mike, just trolling for a fight again. Which I love you, man. But let's face it,
nobody fights. Sometimes I get just even worse because it's like nobody ever even like stands up and fights.
I know. Sometimes you just troll for a fight. You just like, I'll put it out there and you do it to me all the fucking time. Don't you? I mean, I'm not casting aspersions. You told me before we were getting set up for this. You're like, yeah, I knew you were busy, so I thought I'd throw a jab in there and see if you take the bait. Which I'm not gonna deny is entertaining.
And concerning our last discussion, you were right, though. It was just a suing. It's not a charge. But Elon Musk is being sued by the SEC, and they're seeking his removal from the company.
And, you know,
and with him gone, nobody will give them money. And will Tesla be making cars in 10 years, as someone predicted?
So I was right that he was not being charged, but you're saying that it, that was a fun discussion. So anyone who didn't listen to it, listen to the after show with, I think it was 2 weeks ago when Mike talked about how much Elon Musk is a sham as a businessman. And I just talked about how much I love the idea of electric cars and alternative energy. We'll see. His comments about taking the company private are interesting to me. I love the fact that he's put so much into solar, because I think solar is a step in the right direction for us as a country. Anytime I hear someone say clean coal, I want to punch myself in the face.
He's an innovator. Yeah, he's a great innovator.
Okay, we agree on that, because I think he's a great innovator. And
sure, he's a creative.
And when I hear Trump and Trump supporters talk about clean coal, I know enough about coal. I went to school. I went to college in West Virginia University at the College of Mineral.
Smart. I know stuff.
Okay, Fredo.
What is that? Isn't that Bill Burr? You got to put that Bill Burr clip in there.
Which Bill Burr quote? I was doing Fredo. I'm not dumb. I'm smart.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that is what it's from. I thought Bill Burr did that.
No, I mean, he might use it, but that's not like everybody says. I'm smart and I want respect. That's Fredo Corleone arguing with his brother Michael.
Oh, yeah, that's like The Sopranos or something.
It's Godfather Part 2.
That's it. Someone kind of shit to me.
You know what? Next time you try to come at me about how the Corleones run their business, and I'll come back at you about how Wakanda should have been run better. All right, man. Anything else you want to talk about before we get rolling? Because it is late on the East Coast. You are way earlier than me.
In the Sonoran Desert, the beautiful Sonoran Desert. Yeah. No, I'm going to send you my prickly pears, and then you'll have to say how much you love the prickly pear. Do you drink girly drinks? I'll send you like the syrup then you can make like girly drinks.
I don't drink girly drinks, but if I can get girls to my place, I'll get them to drink.
Nah.
Fuck you, but you're right. But then when that happens and I finally get my Supreme Court nomination, they will say, did you ever use Mike Wood's prickly pear girly drink material? I'm like, I cannot answer that question. I think that the prickly pears do not cause. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm going to stop. Michael, okay. Always good talking to you, man. Like I said, you and Steve can do a history of Wakanda debate. I do appreciate you saying the stuff that you did, though, because I at least understand now where you were coming from when I read it as a non-comic book guy from, you know, on Facebook. I was like, what the fuck? And now
supposed to be rooting for the oppressed. We ain't supposed to be cheering for the Wakandans. That's what I'm saying.
Now, in the movie Black Panther, which, again, I just saw this week, The triangle choke that he used in the beginning of the movie to retain his kingship was a fucking perfect triangle choke. No?
Just talking to you about something on the mainstream media, and you just throw something out of left field at me, and I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with what I
said? Nothing of value. Just I was watching the movie, I'm like, man, he nailed that triangle. It was good. It was well done.
I'm like, did you actually watch the full transcript of that CNN Senate hearing? And you're like, so did you see that Rob Lowe got in trouble about a 13? And I'm like, what the hell, Rob Lowe?
And I will say that. Anyway. All right. When I was in high school, I never molested anyone because nobody was close enough to me for me to touch them. So, and I didn't drink in high school because I wasn't cool enough. So
that's a terrible reason. I never sexually assaulted anyone because it's not cool to sexually assault somebody.
Then there's that. That would probably be a better answer. Michael. Good talking to you, brother. Talk to you soon. Peace. Out.